court will proceed to the fourth case, Garcia versus Ashcroft.
May it please the court, my name is Rudra Kumaran. I represent the petitioners in this case. You know, our first contention is that there is no requirement that the claim for the torture convention should be filed within 1 year. In this case, what the board did, the board said that we agree with the immigration judge that the respondent failed to show that there were extraordinary circumstances that justify the late filing of his asylum application. The next line the board said, accordingly we dismiss the appeal. This is what happened, similar to the Mansur versus INS. Because of the board's decision on the asylum claim, that colored the board's determination on the petitioner's convention claim for the convention against torture. As the court said in that case, it leaves the court to ponder whether BIA sufficiently focused on the claim or merely concluded that it was not viable because of its determination on the asylum claim. The same thing happened in this case. In this case, even we don't know, we are not even sure whether the board acknowledged the petitioner's claim for the torture convention. Had the board said on the first line that we simply affirm the immigration judge's decision, probably the board's decision could have been sustained. But the board went further and board said that we review the notice of appeal and we are not convinced that he meet the 1 year deadline or provided an explanation why he did not meet the deadline, and accordingly we dismiss the appeal. So our primary contention is that the board erred in deciding the case under the torture convention. Our next contention, Your Honor, it is true that the petitioner or aliens, as this court said, do not have a constitutional right to an administrative appeal. We concede that. These rights derive from statutory rights or from regulatory rights. And that's the case here, because the administrative appeal is provided by the statute and also by the regulation of the Attorney General. But as the Supreme Court said, the due process afforded aliens stem from those statutory rights granted by Congress and the principle that minimum due process rights attached to those statutory rights. And then the Tenth Circuit elaborated what kind of due process rights the petitioner and alien can expect in this kind of a circumstances. The Tenth Circuit said there are three things you can expect. One is that he is entitled to a fact finding based on the record produced before the decision maker, and number two, must be allowed to make arguments on his or her own behalf. Our contention is, in the appeal, the BIA did not hear the arguments made by the petitioner in this case. Thereby, they deprived the petitioner the due process of his rights, because in the decision, the BIA simply said, in the notice of appeal, they did not say a single word whether that there's a brief is there. So the government argued that there's a presumption they would have reviewed the whole record. Then if that presumption is correct, then there's no reason for the board to come up and say why they are just to say that based on the notice of appeal. There is no reason for that. So based on the second argument, our contention is the petitioner was deprived of his due process rights in this administrative appeal. And with respect to the torture and the immigration judge's argument, Your Honor, we concede that the respondent was correct that that the burden is on the applicant to show that that he could not relocate, so we withdraw that argument. But the other two arguments are still valid, and I don't think I have to elaborate on it, and it's on the brief. But our primary contention is that the BIA did not consider the petitioner's claim under the torture convention, or if it considered it, erred because there is no requirement that the torture convention should be filed within 1 year. And our second contention is that since the BIA only referred the notice of appeal in the decision and did not state anything else, there is a compelling inference that the BIA did not analyze the petitioner's brief. It's an 18-page brief was filed in this case. BIA did not analyze and thereby denied the petitioner a due process right which attached to his statutory and regulatory rights pertaining to administrative appeal. If the court doesn't have any question, I reserve my time for the rebuttal.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Arco.
May it please the court, my name is Michelle Sarko. I'm here to represent the respondent in this action. First, I'd like to inform the court. I wrote a letter to the court a couple days ago. I don't know if you received it.
We have.
Okay. So we're withdrawing the argument that he didn't exhaust in making his CAT claim to the board. I guess I'd like to first start out and talk about a couple things that the petitioner's counsel talked about in his opening. I don't believe that the board was saying in its decision, well, let me just first look at the board decision. It says, to start out, we adopt and affirm the decision of the immigration judge. Therefore, the board was saying it took all the reasons of the immigration judge and took those as its own. In addition, it talked about the one-year deadline in terms of the asylum application. I don't believe that the board was saying that that one-year deadline applied to that claim. And so, therefore, I don't know where this argument is coming from petitioner's counsel. This court has previously said that it would, in the circumstances where the board adopts and affirms a decision of the immigration judge, that's not a violation of due process. You then look to the reasons given in the immigration judge's decision for the agency reason for its decision. And I don't believe also that just because the board only talked about the notice of appeal with regard to the one-year deadline, it was then saying that it didn't look at or that gives rise to any kind of presumption that it didn't look at the appeal brief to the board that was filed by petitioner's counsel. There is a presumption of regularity that the immigration judges and the board will do their job and review the entire record when they're deciding these types of cases. Finally, with respect to the CAT claim, the merits of the CAT claim, I think the reasons given by the immigration judge are supported by the record. This particular individual did not show past persecution. The incidents that occurred to him were related to identity stops in the capital on two occasions over the course of 10 years. He was taking the police custody for 24 hours. He was perhaps what he considers verbally abused when he was interrogated about whether he was a member of the insurgency in that country. But nothing else happened to him other than on two occasions he was slapped by police officers. That does not rise to the level of torture or persecution. And I would also submit that there's evidence in the State Department country report that while in there is perhaps some incidents of torture in that country by police officers, most of that is targeted towards the areas where there is an insurgency. There's no evidence that this individual was involved in an insurgency at all, and there's no reason to believe that the government would specifically target him. Indeed, nothing much happened to him beyond those things that I've said. There was a general sort of civil unrest at one time, and there was rioting and looting that affected his house, but that was general civil unrest. Does not constitute persecution, does not constitute torture. Also, his family, he has relatives that are still there, his father, his mother, a brother, and two sisters, and there's no indication that anything has happened to them in the record. There is an indication that he had another brother. He testified that he's lost, and we know nothing more about that, what happened to him, if anything. So I would submit that he has failed to show that it's more likely than not that he would be tortured if he was returned to Sri Lanka. And surely the evidence of record does not compel a contrary conclusion.
Thank you. Mr. Rudra-Kamrayan?
Just briefly. The petitioner's due process argument does not rest on the fact that because the IJ, the BIA adopted a summary affirmance of the IJ's opinion. We are not basing our due process argument because of that. We certainly accept that the BIA has every right to do it, and it's been accepted, and we have no problem with that. But our argument is that when the BIA affirmed it, it did not, there is a compelling inference that the BIA did not read the petitioner's brief. The BIA simply stated the notice of appeal. If had it read the brief, there is no reason for it. There is no reason for it just to mention in the notice of appeal the petitioner stated certain things and did not satisfy. As I argued earlier, had the BIA limited its opinion with the first two lines, that we simply affirm the IJ's opinion, we have no problem. I think BIA's opinions can be sustained. BIA went further, and the 1 year, BIA talked about the 1 year issue. The 1 year issue is not a new issue. In fact, the IJ rejected the asylum claim primarily on that issue. So he covered that issue in his opinion. But then BIA paid a special attention to that issue and then said, accordingly we dismiss the appeal. And when they say accordingly they dismiss the appeal, it covers the whole claim. It covers asylum as well as the CAT claim, the torture convention claim. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.